Good evening. As we come together this evening to study God's Word, we're going to examine probably one of the most important questions that have ever been asked, and that is, what is truth? In John chapter 17, when Jesus is praying to His Father and praying for the disciples, from whom He is about to be separated from, He says to them to sanctify or set them apart in truth. If you'll come with me this evening to the very next chapter in John chapter 18, we find that Jesus later is on trial before Pilate. And they have a discussion together of some different matters, and one of them includes a discussion of truth. I want us to pick up the reading in John chapter 18 and verse 33. Pilate therefore entered again into the praetorium and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered, Sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell it concerning me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests delivered thee unto me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end have I been born, and to this end I am come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said unto them, I find no crime in him. What is truth? It's a very important question. It's even being asked today. Unfortunately, the answer to this question is not the correct answer. And so this evening, I want us to look at some lessons concerning the important nature of truth. God's Word is truth, but not everybody understands it that way. Not everybody believes that. I want to begin a lesson this evening by looking at the postmodern view of truth. And we're going to define that in just a moment. We're going to illustrate and explain that. Because we're living in a postmodern world, and we're living in a world that has a particular approach to this question, what is truth? When we look back some 200 years, we find that our nation was built upon truths, even truths in God's Word. As the second paragraph of our declaration begins, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that everyone is created equal, and so forth. We hold these truths to be self-evident. The forefathers and the framers of our Declaration of Independence realized, number one, truths, and look at it, they understood them to be self-evident. This is something that anybody recognizes. We don't live in that kind of world much anymore. We're living more in a postmodern world that says, number one, we really can't find truth. And number two, it's not self-evident. It is ambiguous and always out there and can never be found. We've come a long way in 200 years. We live now in a modern world which many approach this way. Truth can no longer be knowable. Truth is not absolute in the sense that it is fixed. It's always changing and always moving around. Truth is no longer objective, meaning outside of us. Jesus said in John 17, Thy Word is truth. God's Word is outside of us. It's not in us. We're not making it up. We're not coming up with it ourselves. God is giving it to us. It's outside of us, objective. Thy Word is truth. That's no longer the case today. And truth is no longer universal for all people of all time. Each individual person comes up with his own truth and how he wants to live. I would suggest that our world is suffering from truth decay. Not tooth decay, but truth decay. And we're going to see that illustrated this evening. Our modern way of thinking, I believe, can be summed up in one word. Whatever. You ever heard it that way? Whatever. Whatever. That really is sort of the one-word summary of postmodernism. Because as you're going to see as the lesson unfolds, the attitude of postmodernism is that whatever is truth to you may be truth to you, but it may not be that way to me. And whatever I believe to be truth, you may not accept that, and that's fine. So if you want to accept something, well, whatever. Because I may accept that or I may accept something else. And that really is a good one-word summary, and we hear it all the time. It becomes a good summary of what we're looking at this evening. And so I want us to look at this question, what is truth? But before we go any farther, come back with me to John chapter 18. Something very interesting here. In John chapter 18, Pilate asks this question, what is truth? But look at your Bible. What does the rest of the verse say? Did he stick around for the answer? Did you notice that? Did he stick around for the answer? You know, a lot of people ask questions, but they won't stick around for the answer. A lot of people ask questions, but they really don't want to learn. They're not interested in the answer. The rest of the verse says, and when he said this, he went out. He didn't stick around for the answer. One of the problems is that people may be asking what is truth, but they're really not interested in the right or correct answer to that. And again, that is our postmodern world. And so this evening, I want us to look at a very fundamental question that is going to affect our young people here in the generations to come. It's already affecting us, and that is, what is truth? Can you know it? Is it absolute? Is it objective? Is it universal? Or is it actually the case that whatever? 2 + 2 = 4. Well, whatever. I think it's something else. You see, we're going down a slow track toward this approach of postmodernism. We've already been in it some 50 years or so. And we're continuing down that path, and we're seeing it in a number of different elements in our society. What brought us to this point? Well, first of all, the failure of modernism. Now again, we're using some big words. I'm going to define each of these if you'll just give me a moment this evening. In the 1800s, we had what was called modernism, and I'll talk about that some more in a moment. But when people began to see that we could not create a perfect world with the science, especially of the late 1800s, in the Industrial Revolution, especially the 1800s, we cannot create a perfect world. People became disillusioned with that, pushed it off to the side, and decided to believe in something else. The word postmodernism, look up here, post means after. And so we're talking about a philosophy that has come after modernism. The second thing that brought this about was, as we began to have a society that is more cosmopolitan and many different peoples, many different beliefs, many different ideas, and the quick multimedia environment to share those beliefs just instantly around the world, close by and around the world, we can read things, see things, know things, and it becomes more challenging to say there is one fixed body of truth, because when I go home and get on my computer, I mean, I can get thousands of things. All kinds of ideas, all kinds of beliefs. Why have one belief, you see? A third thing is the vast diversity of religious and philosophical perspectives. Everybody's got their view of the world. Everybody's got their religion. There's literally thousands of religions available to everyone. Why should I, you know, believe in Ephesians 4:4, one body, you know, one Savior? Why? I mean, my friend, all the people that I work with, they're all in different religions. And there's all kinds of philosophical beliefs. I can just pick one. Religion is really kind of like a pot of stew. You know, you just put the pot up there and just start throwing a bunch of things in. And you stir it around, and what comes out is your religion. So why settle for one thing, you see? One body of truth and one church and so forth. Number four, this idea that I have a fixed sense of identity. This is who I am, and this is the best way for me to live. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, a well-known passage. When Solomon saw the whole end of the matter, He concluded, fear God and keep His commandments. This is the best way to live. This is what man is all about. This is the whole of man. Well, we've come into an era where I don't even know who I am as a person. We're not teaching that we're made in the image of God. We're not teaching that we've been created by God. We're just a product of billions of years of evolution. I really don't know who I am. There's no one way to live. All of that has become lost. And so it really doesn't matter what I pick in life. I'm supposed to be living in fear of God and following His commandments because a judgment day is coming, verse 14. But all of that has been tossed aside and nobody really knows up from down, right side up or bottom side up. And so there has been this loss. Number five, this is very interesting. Among postmodernists, there is the belief that language comes from man alone and cannot describe realities or truths outside of man. There's nothing outside of man. In other words, when I speak words, those words create truth. Whether there is actually that the case or not, when I say it, that's all there is. Just language is all there is. To illustrate the absurdity of this, I was doing some research on this matter, and a postmodernist was asked, is there such a thing as a reality of gravity? He said, no, if we did not speak about gravity, it would not exist. Can you imagine that? If we never spoke of gravity, it would never exist. That's how absurd this is becoming. And so, postmodernists say that when I begin to speak, those words become truths. They are truths to me. Whether you want them or not, that's your business. But they are truths when I speak it. There's nothing outside of that. That's all there is. Number six, the belief that written texts do not have determinate meaning. That is, they tell us something and we need to go obey it. Written texts, particularly the Bible, do not have determinate, singular, knowable meaning. Do you know what's interesting about this? In 1976, a famous postmodernist philosopher, a Frenchman named Jacques Derrida, he wrote that written texts do not have determinate, singular, knowable meaning. I have a question for Mr. Derrida. Does your text that you just wrote to me, does it have any determinate, singular, knowable meaning? Oh yeah, mine does, just not the Bible. And so we're going to see later that they don't even play by their own rules. But the reason they say this is the foremost written text that they don't want to have any meaning is what I'm holding in my hands here this evening. But you know what? This matter of postmodernism is not just a religious matter. This is very interesting as well. Written texts do not have determinate meanings. You know what that includes? That includes the Declaration of Independence and our U.S. Constitution. And so we're seeing more and more people teaching in universities that what the founding fathers wrote in those documents, really that's not what they meant. We never can really know what they actually meant or what they intended. We just simply need to frame it in the 21st century, do the best we can to interpret it. We can't really know for certain what they meant. And so we just simply need to have other ideas about what those words might mean and so forth. It's showing up in other areas other than religion. I am told that two of our nine Supreme Court justices approached the Constitution that way. Two of the nine, I'm told. Number seven, the belief that truth is formed not by reality, but by power relationships. Now let me explain that for just a moment. You need to be acquainted with this idea of power. The postmodernist says that something becomes truth when a body of people have power enough to assert that on other people. Here's an example that they give. In Western culture, take Great Britain and the United States. These two powerful nations for years have set forth the idea that marriage is between a man and a woman. And they have asserted that in their powerful way for many centuries, when in fact, two men can be married, two women can be married, but we've been sold this lie because of a power struggle. This power nation has inserted this on us. And so our job is to get out from under these you know, power relationships and do what we want. So truth is formed not by something that's actually real, the earth is round, not flat, and so forth, but just by power relationships. And so when somebody can powerfully, whether an individual, society, group, or even a nation, can assert something on somebody else, that's what becomes truth. Where you can see the problem with that. So we're now in what has been called a postmodern world. Now, how does this relate to the matter of religion? Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 1. I find it interesting that the very first story with regard to the devil and the very first words out of his mouth deal with our lesson this evening. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. I want you to notice the very first thing that is said about the devil. And I want you to mark it down that what we're talking about this evening is very subtle. Some of the things that are being said and being propagated in our society and world today are very subtle, but it's very effective in where it's going. Postmodernism, then, is the philosophical belief that one cannot be certain about things. We cannot really know truth. Jesus said, John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus said in John 17 that thy word, God's word, is a body of truth. Well, postmodernism says, no, we can't have one body of truth. We don't know that. We can't even know it if we wanted to. And it's just unknowable. You can't be certain about things. Well, right there. You see that? Can you be certain about that statement? That you can't be certain? See, they don't even follow their own rules. But you can't be certain about things. Now notice, in Genesis chapter 3, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Jehovah God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden?" Now you might look at that and go, well, that's just a harmless question. Oh, really? Look at chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. God said, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." What was the first attack that the devil used on that? What was the very first attack? It was a question to Eve to get her to think, well, can you really know that? He wasn't asking Eve for information. He's asking Eve to test her to see if she really knows that or really comprehends that. And what happens when Eve answers in verse 2? She answers in a way that shows that, yes, I know truth. I understand God's word. The woman said, "Of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said," I can hear God's words and know it. I can know truth. Truth is understandable. I can hear words and understand words, you see. "You shall not eat, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." The devil realized, this woman does know truth. I tried to question her to get her to doubt whether or not she can know all of that. Well, apparently she does. And so he tried a different tact. And that is, "You shall not die." That's a different tact. But the first tact was, let's see if she really knows truth. Do you see how subtle that is? What's going on here is the very same thing. People are walking up and saying, "Has God really said..." That's really what's going on here. "Has God really said that lying is wrong? Has God really said that homosexuality is wrong?" It's a question to get us to think, well, maybe I can't be certain about things. Well, she demonstrated that you can be certain about things because she gave it back to the devil verbatim. And so he had to try a different approach. And he tried another approach by saying, "Well, you shall not surely die." That's a different approach. The first approach was, I want to see if she understood what God said. Postmodernism is the belief that we really can't be certain about what is said. It has affected all major aspects of our society, and our young people are going to see it more and more as they go through life. It's in law, as I've illustrated earlier. It's in politics. It's in science. It's in literature. Here's how badly it's gotten into literature. In 1983, a man wrote a book documenting he was championing the exploits of poor people in third world countries. And in 1983, an American author, he won a Nobel Prize for his book. The problem with the book was it was full of error, misinformation, unfactual details. There were all kinds of things wrong in it about different things going on in these places that he's documenting, but nobody cared. They gave him a Nobel Prize. We're living in a postmodern world where we don't care about whether someone is factual in facing reality, what is actually going on. The critics jumped on it and said, man, this guy is great that he's championing these poor folks in third world, and we need to do that. We need to try to help them. But we're willing to overlook all of these errors and misstatements and unfactual information and give the guy a Nobel Prize. It's happening in every aspect of our society, in architecture, in art. I'm not an artist. I can't draw at all. But years ago, when people would draw, you kind of followed some rules. Let me give you an example. If you were painting something and you had the sun over here on the side, and the sun is shining, and you had some objects here, then what would you put on the other side of those objects? You would put some shadows. Well, that's reality, isn't it? Well, postmodern art, you don't have to do any of that. First of all, you don't have to put any shadows. Or if you want to put some shadows on the other side of the tree, you can put them anywhere you want. It really doesn't matter. But we know that that's not reality, is it? When you walk out and you see the sun and you see some objects, you know what side those shadows are going to be on. That's reality. But postmodernism is you create your own reality. You create your own truth. You create your own facts. It shows up in many ways. It's showing up in the media. It's showing up in religion, and that's what we want to focus on this evening. So then, this belief that one cannot be certain was tested by the devil at the very beginning, and I'm reminded of Solomon in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 9 that there's nothing new under the sun. We're still seeing it being tested today. Can you really know what God has said? Can you really know that? You see. The answer is yes. But in postmodernism, the answer is no. Friedrich Nietzsche, he's been called the father of postmodernism, once said that convictions are more dangerous enemies of truth than lies. In other words, if somebody says, this is the way it is, and I have a conviction, that's worse than telling a lie. Because you can't be going around saying, this is the way it is. Because in our postmodern world, there are no certainties. There are no absolutes. There is no just one way that this is going to be. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. We can't be having that kind of a conviction in a postmodern world. I find that interesting statement. A belief becomes truth for the postmodernist at the moment one makes a choice to believe something. Wow. All you have to do is just make a choice. And when you make the choice to believe such and such, that becomes truth for you. Do you see how easy that is? And you can see how popular that would be. We don't have to turn to God's Word. Thy Word is truth. We just make a choice about something, and at that moment that we make a choice, they say, that becomes truth for you at that moment in time. Truth for the postmodernist is what works. It works for me at the moment to believe such and such. It's what I prefer. It's what brings me pleasure. And so we're going to find that postmodernism is simply a way to justify one's own personal lifestyle. Let's look for just a moment at the matter of this modernism and postmodernism. If you look up with me here at the chart, those who diagram these eras, and I'm using their dates, pre-modern, this would be the period of the Greeks, Greek philosophy, up to the time of the Renaissance. There was a general belief, you could find exceptions, but there was a general belief that life is governed by objective truths outside of us. And there are divine entities. Now, for the Greeks and the Romans, it may have been a plurality of gods. For the Christians, it was the one true God. But there was a divine, and that divine gave word. And that was an objective truth that was accepted. And so truth is determined by looking at facts, empirical facts. And truth provides moral principles. We're going to live a certain way. Even Greeks and Romans, as much of the debauchery as they engaged in, they had certain ideals that they lived by, certain things that they said make for good character. All of this was the idea that life is governed by a divine who gives objective truth. Well, that lasted up until about the time of the Renaissance, and then became what was known as the Enlightenment. We're smart, you see. We're enlightened. Man knows all things. And so now there's a shift in belief, and again, I'm talking in general. You'll find exceptions, and there have always been godly people throughout these times who have followed God's truth and so forth. But we're talking about in general circles now. We come up to the time of the Renaissance and what's been known as the modern era. And it brings us up to the middle of the 1900s. Life is no longer governed by objective truths that come from a divine, but life is governed by the discoveries that I make. And so there was a heightened sense of a need for science in the 1700s and in the 1800s. And it's no coincidence that that's the time in which Charles Darwin was able to propagate his theory of human evolution and so forth. Life is governed by the discoveries that I make and the scientific strides that I make and the human reasoning and the logic. I use my brain, and that's how we live in life. That's how we solve life's problems. And so it's known as modernism. Truth, then, is determined by science. And so that's why during the 1800s, in many places around the world, God and miracles and the resurrection, it was all taken out of the Bible because we cannot prove those things scientifically. And so there was a big push, especially in the area of religion, to take out miracles, to take out God, to take out the resurrection, and so forth. Because I have to have scientific proof before I can accept this as a truth. That's the modern world. Now, the postmodern world that we live in is left that aside, and we've moved on, you see. We've progressed. So life now is governed by what I think and what I feel. Truth, and that should be in parentheses, what's truth to me or truth to you, is a construct. It's what I make up in my own mind. And it could be a cultural construct. It could be what the culture is saying at the time. Or it could be my own individual construct. But truth for me is what I make of it. I don't have to have any scientific proof like the modern world. I don't even have to have any divine moral principles. It's just what I want at the moment. I'm going to construct that. And so postmodern, then, is the general era that we're now living in. Now you might be thinking, well, I've never heard of this. In a way that's good. But what happens is that in each of these eras, there are always those who just simply want to follow God and His Word, and they care nothing about all this other. And that's you. And that's me. And there will always be people like that. We'll never hear these words. We'll never come across a postmodernist. We'll never sit in a university class and hear postmodernism. Our young people will. We probably won't. But our young people will. And so these things seem strange to us, but this is the general world that we're living in, and especially our young people need to be familiar with it. It's the idea that truth is what I construct in my own mind. And so we're living in a postmodern world. Now, how does this relate to matters of religion? Again, allow me a little more time here with regard to some background material, and then we'll open up our Bibles toward the end of the lesson. We're going to go to Romans 1. Religious beliefs are plural. Whatever someone wants to construct, just it's a plurality. Anything goes. It's subjective. It's what's inside. It's my feelings. It's derived from my own worldview. If my own worldview is that in my sexuality, I don't have to be married, I can just go out and fornicate, that's my own individual worldview. That's truth to me. Lying, stealing, cheating, shooting, murder, whatever the case might be. I'm going to make my own reality. It's not reality at all, but I'm going to call it that. I'm going to call it truth, and I'm going to go with that. individuals construct their own truths and values. There's no pre-existing body of knowledge. When the devil approached Eve, was there any pre-existing knowledge? Yeah, chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, don't eat of the tree. And she referred back to that knowledge that God had given her. There is always God in His Word, and that always pre-exists us. And it's always there to guide us and control us. We can either accept it or we can ignore it. But the postmodern says, no, there's nothing out there. Thy word is truth. No. And we say in our psalm book, Psalm 119, the law of the Lord. You see all of those qualities. None of that is out there. You, at the very moment that you're living, you're constructing truths. You see, there's nothing pre-existing out there. You're just making it up as you go along. We can see how inviting that would be to some. No one should impose his or her ideas on other people. We're hearing more and more and more and more and more every day of you need to be more tolerant and you need to stop discriminating. Those two words are so popular today, and it's coming from this idea that since everyone is constructing their own truths, everybody has a right to their own realities and truths. You should not be imposing your ideas on other people. All ideas are equally valid. If one man wants to marry a woman, that's as equally valid as two men marrying. If a woman wants to keep her child, that's equally valid as a woman who wants to kill her child. It's just all the same. So tolerance is the only binding principle. No judging, no criticism, except when you start judging and criticizing me, and we'll see that later in the lesson. You can see the danger and where we're headed in all of this. There's no objective truths, no fixed order. Truth and morality are relative. You can see how that when this begins to take hold with our young people and being taught in different ways, then it's just, again, the slippery slope to a culture out of control. People will be shaped by an arbitrary set of values given to them by society or whatever they want. And with more and more people being raised on less and less Bible and going to church less, where is the moral compass for these individuals? There's no moral compass for them. They've never darkened the door. They've never cracked open a Bible. And so it's just a free-for-all. The compass is spinning. They don't even know where north is. And they're setting forth truth and reality. And then those individuals get a little bit older, and then they become policymakers in Washington. Oh, now where are we at? You see, we're headed for a problem. And all we can do is teach ourselves and teach our children to remain true. Thy word is truth. If there's no objective truth, what is there to learn? Why read? Why study? Why try to prove anything? Have you ever had a Bible discussion with anybody and they sort of had this cavalier, apathetic attitude to, well, why should I even try to prove that? You ask them what they believe and it's contrary to the Word of God, and their thought is, well, so? Whatever. I mean, that's what I believe. Well, can you demonstrate? I don't have to demonstrate that from the Bible. Since everybody can come up with their own thing and you're supposed to be tolerant of everything, there really is no need to read, study, prove. You just sort of exist at the moment and say whatever you want, think whatever you want. On that last note, in doing some research for this topic, I ran across some individuals in the area of secular education, and they're now suggesting at the primary and secondary level that teachers start a different approach. Instead of testing and having children prove their answer, they can come up with an answer. And even if it's the wrong, and we're talking math. So here's a kid, 2 plus 2 equals 5. Well, don't encourage him to prove that. Just talk with him about why he feels that way. Well, that would be fun, wouldn't it? Don't have to have the right answers. We're seeing that even in some areas of education where this philosophy is being set forth. Don't encourage them to prove anything. You don't have to prove a right answer or a wrong answer, because in postmodernism, there is no right or wrong answer. There's no fixed standard. Now, as far as I know, I don't know of any postmodernist that would say 2 plus 2 equals 5. But that's where the philosophy leads. I don't know of any postmodernist who is now saying the world is flat. But that's where it leads. We can just say and accept anything that we want. So if there's no objective truth, then there are no wrong answers to questions. And that we're seeing it in some areas of education, we'll see it in other areas before it's over with. No wrong answers. People are afraid to be certain. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to see more and more in our society where people will have moral beliefs, but they don't want to prove them. And they're not even certain about them. They'll say, well, I don't even know if what I believe is right or wrong. There's going to be an uncertainty. People are afraid to appeal to authority. We're going to get less and less away from the Bible says, you see. We don't want, because that comes off as critical and judgmental. When you appeal to authority, it also comes off as certainty and absolute. And so we're going to get away from proving anything. We're going to get away from appealing to authority. We're afraid to be certain about anything, and yet that's the very thing we need to be. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, these things I have written, notice that, a written document that is objective truth, I have written that you may know, certainty, we can know, that you have eternal life, even unto you that believe on the name of Jesus. And this is the boldness, certainty, which we have toward God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Notice boldness, and you can know, and a written object of truth. This is all opposite of postmodernism. People are free to believe whatever they want. And you can see where that's going to lead morally in our country. You know what's interesting about this is people are free to believe whatever they want. In my research in looking on this, I have found that that's really not the case. What they mean by that is people are free to believe whatever they want in the area of morality. They still believe that the earth, revolves around the sun. We can't be postmodern about that. We'd really look wacko if we said the sun revolves around the earth. And we're still going to say 2 plus 2 equals 4. And we're still going to say that when I get out my compass, it's always going to point this direction to north. I'm not going to be so silly as to say that north is anywhere around there. So my point is that in areas of math and in areas of some areas of science and other types of areas, we're certain. And this is the way it is. And there's just one way that this is going to be. But you're not supposed to catch that, you see. In other words, it's a double standard. They're hypocritical. They're willing to say that this is one way that it should be. The earth is round. What they mean is in areas of morality, free to believe whatever you want. And we need to understand that and point that out with them. Some of the catchwords that they use: all truth is subjective. It's inside of me. I come up with it on my own. Each individual can have his own worldview. And truth is pluralistic, meaning plurality. It's made up of many ideas and beliefs. It's all relative. It's constantly changing. We might be in a generation where lying right now is kind of frowned upon, but later we might be in a generation where lying is good, you see. And so it's constantly changing. We construct our own ideas and beliefs. And when a society tells us what to believe, we've been scripted by that society. When a society says that this is significant, you see, what's happening is that in our society, we're slowly saying things about homosexuality and other things, that's what's significant to us, and so in time, that will become the script, you see. We just simply follow the narratives or the fictions that our society pawns off on us, and we need to get out from underneath these fictions. For example, in Western culture, marriage has typically been between a man and a woman. That's just one big fiction that we've been taught through the years. We've got to get out from underneath that, you see. We've got to deconstruct these things that have been given to us in the past, you see. Well, what's interesting about that is that they're not willing to deconstruct 2 plus 2 equals 4. They're willing to keep that one. What they're wanting to deconstruct are moral principles, you see. And so we just need to have more tolerance of everyone. And it's just a matter of making choices. When you make a choice, that is truth for you. These are some of the catchwords and buzzwords and some of the lingo, and you even hear it today. That may be true for you, but it doesn't make it true for me. That's just postmodernism. And it seems innocent. It seems like it really wouldn't do a whole lot. But when you examine it, you see the problem with that. The way I live is my choice. You don't have a right to impose your views on me. And then the last one, whatever. Yeah, whatever. Well, you know, marriage is between a man and a woman. Yeah, whatever. I mean, we really need to tell the truth. Whatever. I mean, if you want to, it's your business, whatever. And so it's this apathetic, indifferent, I don't really need to prove you wrong. I don't need to debate with you. I'm not going to criticize you. I'm going to tolerate you. If you want that, that's your business, whatever. I'm going to have my life. And so that's the tone that we're slowly slipping into. What's interesting is that postmodernism doesn't even play by its own rules. For example, they will say there is not absolute truth, except for the statement that there's no absolute truth. Now that's absolute. You see, they don't even play by their own rules. And this is what you can point out to your friends when they start bringing up these kinds of things. There will be those that we work with, and Matthew is always talking about people that he's working with, and it sounds like a lot of the discussions deal with apologetics and proving different types of things. And we may work with or go to school with or have friends that make these kinds of statements. What can we do to help them see the inconsistency of this bankrupt humanistic philosophy? Well, point out to them that they don't even play by their own rules. They'll say there is no absolute truth. Well, is that statement right there absolute? Well, yeah, that one is, but other ones aren't, you see. Well, they can see, hopefully, if they're honest, that they're not playing by their own rules. All social constructs, that is, beliefs or truths, should be deconstructed. Well, what about your statement, all social constructs? Should it be deconstructed as well? Should postmodernism be deconstructed, you see? No, my philosophy, it needs to stay intact. But all of these other philosophies, one man and one woman, and you should always tell the truth and never tell a lie, all those kinds of constructs, you know, they need to be deconstructed. People should not condemn unless it's condemning condemnation. I was doing some study where some postmodernists went on a rampage about condemning people. And their language was full of vitriol and hatred and inflammatory remarks. Well, wait a minute now. You're not supposed to condemn. People in our society are condemning everyone, and I can't believe that they're condemning, and they shouldn't be doing that. Well, wait a minute. Are you condemning? Well, no, I'm not condemning. They don't play by their own rules. People should be tolerant of all others, except when you and I stand up and we open our Bible and we begin to talk about moral principles. Well, sit down and shut up. Well, wait a minute. Where's the tolerance now? Where's the tolerance? No, it's a false and feigning attitude that says we just want to be tolerant of all others, except for people who are intolerant and who stand up and say, you know, there's one way to be saved and that type of thing. So we can see very easily that they don't even play by their own rules. I want to close with Scripture now in Romans chapter 1. Turn with me there. As you're turning to Romans chapter 1, I wanted to mention to you for the future that there are many Bible passages that talk about truth. And so, Lord willing, in the future, we will be looking at the biblical view of truth. We will be talking more about John 8:32. You can know the truth. I'm well aware that there are many Bible passages that speak to this matter of truth, and we're going to reserve them for a further study. But I do want us to open our Bibles now and look at this matter as we close. What would Paul's response be to postmodernism, this idea that you can't know anything for certain? Well, first of all, turn with me. We're just going to go down through the text. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. The first point that he would make is that there is such a thing as an objective truth. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Notice, something is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth in unrighteousness. Number one, he would say there is a truth. There is a truth out there. There is a body of truth that has been revealed. And when you don't follow that truth, you're going to get the wrath of God. So there is an objective standard of truth. And the reason is, the next point, there is such a thing called truth because God is real. Notice the next point that he makes. Because that which is known of God is manifest in them, for God manifested it unto them. For the invisible things of him, God, since the creation of the world, are clearly seen. There's evidence for a designer behind the design. There's an evidence that can be clearly seen for a creator behind the creation. We don't believe in some myth. There are things that can clearly be seen showing what? His everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. Number one, there is a truth, verse 18 and 19. Number two, there is a truth because there is a God. He can clearly be seen in this world that he has made. That truth comes from a God. There is no truth if there is no God. There is no absolute truth if there is no God. So there is a truth, number one. It comes from a God that is real and actually exists. And number three, if you reject that truth, first of all, you're going to get the wrath of God, verse 18. But if you reject that truth, look at it now with me in verse 21. You are going to go down a very dark path of immorality. You no longer have a basis for reason or morality. Anything goes. Up is down and down is up and so forth. Anything goes. And so look at verse 21. Because that, knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings. That's what postmodernism is and other worldly philosophies. They became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of an incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man and of bird, four-footed beast, and creeping thing. Wherefore God gave them up to the lust of their own hearts. And so we become vain. Now look at it. In verse 21, they're senseless. You're not using your senses. When postmodernism says you can't know anything, you're not using your senses. Well, can you know that? It becomes futility. It becomes senseless reasoning. It becomes absurd. Once you leave truth and the God behind the truth, then all you're left to is this senseless, oh, you look like you're smart. And many of the people that are propagating postmodernism are in academia and other places. Oh, you look real smart, but actually it's just senseless reasoning. And you've been sitting here this evening thinking, well, that's ridiculous to say those types of things. You can see the senseless reasoning in it. And then what it does then is it causes you to live a life of vain reasoning and immorality, and you're going to reap serious consequences. Verse 24, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts unto uncleanness, that their body should be dishonored among themselves, for that they exchanged the truth, verse 18, of God, verse 20 and 21, for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature. All we're doing in postmodernism is serving man. What we come up with, our truths, our realities. Well, where does this all lead? Verse 26, God gave them up unto vile passions, for their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working unseemliness and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due. Consequences. Verse 28, and as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up into a reprobate mind. We're seeing more and more of that in our society. To do those things which are not fitting. Why? Because I've left truth. Truth cannot be known. Verse 18, there is no God, you see. I'm not reading my Bible and I'm not believing in God. And so I'm just going to do what I want. And truth is what it is to me, and so I'm starting to go down this road. Well, it's going to have some consequences. A reprobate mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. We're seeing more and more school shootings and violence. I understand Larry spoke on violence when I was gone. It needs to be addressed. I appreciate him doing that. I can't speak for all murderers, but some are taking this approach. Well, it's what I want. It's the truth that I'm going to make of it. It's the reality I'm going to make of it. And so if I want to take someone's life, that's truth to me. I'm fine with that, you see. We're going to reap some very serious consequences. Strife, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Can you imagine? The postmodern child. The parent comes to correct them. Well, that's truth to you, but it's not truth to me. If you want to believe that, that's your business, but I'm not on board with that. We're going down a very serious road. And then where does it all end up? They that practice such things are worthy of death. It all starts when we leave truth. And when we leave God, and we become senseless. This is ridiculous. This is senseless to be talking about these kinds of silly things that we can't know anything for certain. That is senseless. There are realities out there, brethren, and that's our next lesson. That truth is not just based upon what religious people say. Truth is based upon realities. Listen, there is a reality called gravity. It's a reality. And whether somebody speaks that or not, it exists. And it's a reality that the earth revolves around the sun. That's been proven over and over again. It's a reality. And so to say, well, you know, there are no realities out there. It's only what we make of it. That is just silly and senseless. But everybody's scared to use that kind of talk that Paul used with these people because, well, they're smart and they're this and they're that. No, it is a senseless, silly human philosophy that is taking our country down. And so the lesson is yours. We need to continue to raise ourselves on the truth of God's Word, that moral compass that always, always points in the right direction. Just like when the postmodernist whips out his compass. When the postmodernist whips out his compass, you know which way it points? It always points the same way every time. Because you know what? There is a reality of the magnetic north and the magnetic poles, and it's not just going to sit there and spin around. And you know, the postmodernist says, you know, well, I guess that's one thing that's absolute, you know, my compass. And that 2 + 2 = 4. And that there is gravity. And the earth is round. I guess there's a few things that are fixed. Yeah, there are realities out there. And there are other realities involving moral things. And we'll talk about that, Lord willing, in a future lesson. And so, raise ourselves and our family on the truth and the reality of God's Word. That God is, and that His Word is for our lives. There may be someone here this evening that may need to respond. If postmodernism gets a hold in this country, there'll be no need for me to be in this pulpit or you to be here. It's just whatever you want. And we're seeing more and more of that. All we can do is stay away from that. Identify it. I believe it's important to have a lesson like this. Identify it. Be aware of it. Know the lingo. Know the catchwords. Know the statements that are out there. But continue to raise our lives on a belief in God and His truth that is a fixed constant for us. We can know the truth, and the truth can make us free. This evening, you can be freed from sin if you'll respond to the truth.